CliffCentral.com.
All right. Oh, hang on. That's a bit embarrassing. Come straight back in and out again. Let me just see if I can get everything back up and running. Okay, there we are. Hello.
Earthcliff Show. And in this second hour,
sorry,
I don't
Mash.
Know where Leanne is.
Gareth,
you're back?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened. How embarrassing. I come back, say hello, and disappear again. Anyway, how are you? let's get going. How are you, everybody? I hope you're off to a good start for this Monday morning. And as Mash says, the Gareth Cliff Show, second hour of this morning, this Monday morning, last day of October. Technically, today is actually Halloween. Technically.
Yes. Are you doing anything for Halloween today, Gareth?
Hell no. I didn't do anything over the weekend for Halloween. Why would I start now?
Ah, what?
No, sorry.
But
it's here.
Oh, there's
speaking of the weekend, you know, you guys know that I'm very much well into my health and my wealth. And I'm like a fitness junkie, you know? Not so much, but I think I am a little tiny bit. I think I'm a quite the fitness junkie.
All right.
And last week I went to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the gym quite often, maybe 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. If I'm pushing it 5 times, whenever I can, whether it's morning or evening,
sure.
Gotta push those vitality points. So I went to the gym last week. It was last week Tuesday in the evening for a spinning class. I enjoy the classes as well. The classes are fun.
Sure.
And there's a couple sitting in front of me. Well, at this time, let me just also reiterate that when I first got there, I didn't realize they're a couple. I thought they're just two people sitting next to each other. But now the guy starts pointing at the girl's towel while we're in the class. We're busy spinning there, cycling. And the guy's like, towel day. The girl passes him the towel. He wipes his sweat off with her towel. Cool. Gives it back to her. At this point, I don't know they're a couple. So I'm kind of weirded out. Okay. Huh. So then I'm like, I thought, okay, maybe it is his towel and she's just holding it for him, perhaps. Then she uses the same towel on her forehead. And I was just disgusted. And then after the class, they even kissed. I was like, "Aye, Nina. Aye. That's how I realized they're a couple. But it's something that got me thinking. And that is, would you share a towel, a sweat towel,
mm-mm.
with anyone? Not even a partner, just anyone.
Hell no. Hell no is the short answer.
No way.
Yeah.
I think what's happened there is he's forgotten his towel. But clearly they're in the beginning throes of passion, because when you can get to that level of sharing things, yeah, you must clearly be in the spring of your love.
Yes. It must be still bubbling under. And I was so grossed out by this. I actually even tweeted about it. I was like, y'all, I'd rather be single if sharing towels, sweat towels is what it takes nowadays. I'd rather be single.
No.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of using anyone else's towel. I don't even like, once I've used a sweat towel, even the word sweat, a sweat towel at the gym, I'm like, ugh, throw that in the washing immediately.
Yeah, for right? sure.
It's gross.
You got to get rid of it.
I don't know. There are some things that couples do at the beginning of their relationship because they're so into each other that they don't do for long. They certainly don't want to do that for long.
Yeah, things like kissing each other when you first wake up without brushing your teeth. Yeah, that sort of thing.
You see it in the movies? You see,
there's a meme I've seen of that, and it's like it shows people kissing each other first thing in the morning, but their lips are replaced by toilets.
Oh no!
Yeah, you see, that's kind of how I think it goes. But yeah, when couples start off, and you see it in movies as well, and movies are so unrealistic that these couples are, you know, these people are so in love with each other, they want to kiss first thing in the morning, and you see people wake up in the morning, and they look great, and they like they reach out for each other, and they're like, oh, it's so good to see you, I had such a great sleep. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, God, no. So sweat towels, absolutely fucking not. Not for me.
Yuck. You mean man is dead. Yeah, that's something I won't be partaking in anytime soon. It is disgusting. And yeah, I think it is the movies, Gareth, as you just mentioned. Movies do give people this idea that we should be sharing everything, including toothbrushes.
No toothbrush sharing, no sweat towel sharing. Try if you can possibly to stay away from each other during your toilet activities. If you want to keep the you want to keep the romance alive, keep all of that stuff private. There is no
even showering together is not really a thing for
It's not a thing, really. It's not a thing. Let's not do that because everybody knows you have your different things you do in the shower. Maybe you wash your ass. Maybe you wash your under your arms. Maybe you scrub your face. Maybe you put on one of those face masks that some women do that look terrifying first thing in the morning. You know, just keep some of that stuff to yourself. Who knows? It's not Halloween.
Absolutely.
It's not Halloween every day. So let's not take the fear into every part of our lives. Can I ask you, though, just the other day I brought it up, so it's my fault, but I don't feel embarrassed anymore because now everybody is putting up their Christmas decorations in the shopping malls. They're playing the Christmas songs already. We knew it was going to happen. November is usually like full Christmas season, and that's tomorrow, starting tomorrow, 1st of November. But people are already thinking about gift ideas, and some really smart people, like, they plan in advance. I've never really been the sort of person who could always get my act together well enough in advance to be able to say, okay, I know Christmas is coming. Let me go out and do a little bit of shopping and just throughout the year build up a reserve of presents so that when it comes to Christmas, I can go, oh, look, guys, I got all these cool Christmas presents for you. Obviously, that hasn't happened for me, but there's still time. What are the major gift ideas that everyone's talking about? And Leanne has a whole bunch of seasonal celebrations and unique gift ideas, especially for people who have everything. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, most of us in South Africa have everything, but there are those difficult people to buy for. And it's usually men. I mean, Leanne, you know, buying for the guys in your family is much harder than buying for the girls.
Oh, yeah, hugely. So one of the cool things that you can buy as a gift, which a person might not have and probably will not have, is something called a TheraFace Pro. This is part of the TheraBody line of goods. You get something called a TheraBody TheraGun.
So I have that.
Do you?
Yes. You do? It's very good. So it's
You don't have the smart goggles though, right?
No, just the TheraGun.
Okay, so the smart goggles would be a good... This is a good idea because it would have pleased you. This is like a smaller face targeted version that you wear on your face. But obviously it doesn't give you that like pounding massage that you'll get with the TheraBody, with the TheraGun.
Yes.
But this is a Bluetooth compatible eye mask.
Sure.
And it comes with three modes: focus, smart relax, and sleep. With smart relax, what's really cool is that it activates these like personalized vibration patterns to lower your heart rate and alleviate stress and anxiety. There's also a bit of heat that it uses as well, with the slight vibrations and gentle massages. And these things can relieve your eye strain and also help release your facial tension and help you fall asleep faster as well. It kind of makes sense if you think about the times you've been for a facial and you've had a warm towel placed over your eyes that like makes you want to fall asleep immediately. So that's one of the ideas.
I'm sorry, I have to actually see one of these things to even know what you're talking about, because it sounds very complicated to me. Mash, can you describe it a little? It sounds so weird. I'm not even sure what kind of mental image to have with this.
So I think I'm looking at the right one. I'm not too sure. Leanne, this is not it, Leanne. This is not it.
What the hell's that?
No.
Jesus.
No.
Let's just see.
It just looks like Well, I mean, you're on the right track. It's like a bit of a mask type looking thing, but
is this similar to it?
So just search TheraBody. TheraBody, TheraMask.
It's a pair of goggles, but it vibrates. It sounds horrific.
No, it's very wonderful. Sleek looking.
Okay.
Sleek looking, very nice looking design.
All right. Okay. I got it.
Okay. So another idea for those who might have everything.
Mm-hmm.
There are always a lot of makeup products, like, you know, like you said, it's like girl city when it comes to gifts.
Sure.
But something that you can have in your home is a very extensive list of gifts that I'm running through here. I'll get there in a second.
Carl says, by the way, I've never been attracted to a woman with blue teeth. Not buying the Bluetooth face mask. Also, people can't be massaged pretty. Yeah, that's also true. I think that's a good point. Clown works for me. That's a whole other conversation. Dear Linda says, my ex-husband never understood why he was not allowed to use my towel, to our previous story. Well, he's your ex-husband for a reason, right? Go on.
Okay, so there's a lot of humidifiers and diffusers going on at the moment. Mm-hmm. Very, very trendy to have in your home. And this one is particularly trendy because of the design. It's almost like hexagonal, but in 3D and in amazing colors. So it becomes like a feature to have in the home as well.
Is this it?
Does it light up?
This blue thing?
Yes, it is the blue thing.
Okay. Oh, wow. So it basically puffs out humidified air out the top.
Yes, in different aromas. So this is Sage's Aroma B. Cordless diffuser. Mm-hmm. It's nice and abstract, so it's this nice accent decor piece, but it makes your home smell absolutely amazing.
All right.
You just add in like a few drops of essential oil or essential extracts into the diffuser, and you get this kind of whisper quiet continuous misting in your home.
Does it light up?
I don't think so. Not 100% sure.
This is almost like the Leanne Moll version of the Verimark channel. She's gone and looked at all the things all over the world, and now she's going to tell us what we can buy for Christmas.
You know why? It's because I did it 1 year, even before COVID. I decided to do all my Christmas shopping online,
mm-hmm.
Way ahead of time, like 8 weeks ahead of time, and it was just the best thing ever. So that's why I've started having a look around. There's something quite trendy at the moment called Aloe Yoga.
Oh, yeah?
A-L-O. A company called Aloe Moves. And it's quite a trendy thing to buy one of these membership gift boxes.
Okay.
And this you can buy as a gift. To give you an idea, it's about $199. But you get various levels, obviously. So what's nice is that anyone from beginners to experts can get 12 months, that's a year of unlimited access to yoga, fitness, meditation. Hmm. They're all video classes, but they're like super sleek and modern. And it's all from world-class instructors as well. And you can just pop this onto what you can watch it on anything, on TV, your laptop, your phone, your tablet. Okay. And it's all about mindfulness and good health. So I think it's quite a nice gift to give someone.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. $199 is about 3,600 South African rands.
Okay.
So it seems like quite a little investment. It's cheaper than a gym membership for 12 months.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And it includes all different types, which is great. For those who love their coffee, it's always nice to give an updated coffee type gift. And this is an Ember mug, temperature control smart mug.
Ooh.
It's very sleek looking mug that looks like it's on a saucer, but it's actually on, some kind of heating device.
That's clever.
All wireless. And that keeps your drink at a perfect temperature. So whatever you like, you select that temperature and you can select it via your app. And, That you can just have this sort of never cooling down coffee, so you're not
in a
rush to drink it.
Because God knows, there's nothing worse than a cold cup of coffee in the mornings, and you got so wrapped up in all the things that you've got to do that morning that you forgot your cup of coffee, and it's sitting there on your desk, and you've done everything except drink the coffee, and now it's cold. Yuck. Ugh.
And then you put it in the microwave and the milk coagulates. And
oh, God, no.
Mm-mm. Not good. Mm-mm. So, yeah, those are just some ideas of things that people probably won't have.
Listen, ancient ether says if you gave someone that yoga gift, they might think that you're calling them fat. Is that right?
Well, that was my first thought. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if somebody is already into yoga, fitness, mindfulness, meditation, it's you're basically giving them something that is what they would have loved for themselves. So, yeah.
It's not like you're giving the gift to Lizzo. 100%.
Jeez. No, definitely not. And obviously, the gift of wine would be greatly appreciated as well.
Well, so for you, that's always a good gift, you know?
An annual wine gift subscription or something right. Like that will always go down well.
I mean, I'll never forget just how happy Leanne was just to go through the macro liquor catalog. I mean, that made your week, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So those are still fascinating.
Right, exactly. All right.
In my family.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. In my family, the gift is always just alcohol, hey? Yeah, oh, really? I've noticed a lot. Yeah, in most Black families, especially when you're young and you're gifting the elders don't care about anything apart from booze. Just buy them a bottle of Hennessy or a bottle of whatever, and they're good to go. They're happy. That's all they need.
All right. No, I'm not the world's biggest coffee drinker, but I like this this coffee mug. That looks like something cool. You know, oh, there's something else. Mm. There's something else. Prince Harry's brought up his book, and he's decided, screw Grandma. She's only been in the ground for like a month. But here it is, my book called Spare, with me looking really, really sad and thoughtful on the cover. So who's excited to buy Prince Harry's book for Christmas? Anybody?
A lot of people are, and ready. He's already planning his book tour in early 2023.
Great.
The reason why it's called Spare, any ideas, Gareth?
Well, because there's an heir and there's a spare, and he was the spare. Prince William is the heir to the throne. He was the spare in case something happens to Prince William. So he's obviously all his life he's felt like the spare. It must be so hard to be a prince.
Ah, is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the heir and the spare.
Oh, look at that.
But yeah, I think it's apparently going to be really quite tell all, and his book tour, I think, starts in America and then goes on to the UK. So that could be quite awkward. Hopefully he doesn't run into anyone from the royal family. But, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? He can be stripped of his title and his children can be stripped of theirs. That's really the worst that can happen.
He could also be hated by everyone in Britain, which I think it's getting close to. I mean, you didn't see the warmest reception in the world for him and Meghan when they were there for the Queen's funeral. Here's a gift idea, just quickly, while we're talking about terrible gifts and good ones. Good ones being those things Leanne said, terrible ones being the Prince Harry book. And this is possibly a terrible one. It looks like the best recipes for unexpected guests, and you open it up and there's a gun. What do you think of that? Nice?
I love this. I love this.
Would you buy that, Mash? I mean, that's a good one to just leave lying around, right?
Yes, yes. For my coffee table. I'm actually looking for books for my coffee table right now. So that'll be awesome.
No, that would be a good one.
I'm like, yeah, just read a book. I'll be right back.
You come back and they've left the house. They're shit scared.
That's all right. Exactly what I want.
Well, let's just look at this Prince Harry book for a second, only because people all over the world are still very much into, you know, his story and Meghan's story and everything else. Has Prince Charles, or King Charles now, has King Charles got a plan to, you know, to tackle whatever Harry reveals in his book? Because they must have got a little crisis committee together and decided how they're going to react to all this stuff. Do you know anything, Leanne?
Well, all I know is that if he did have a plan, we'd probably know about it from a royal insider, wouldn't we? They would have already told us about the plan. But no, the whole thing is that it could be just stripping of titles.
Really, that's it?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing much more that he can do. You know, what can he do? And the thing is, there are more and more people, and because I work with a lot of UK brands, and a lot of them are startups and younger people, really do side with Harry and Meghan and are anti-royalists. So there are a lot of people who are actually rooting for him and really want to read the book. And those who are so anti-royalist that they just don't even want to be bothered by any of it at all.
Yeah, the only problem with those people that you're talking about who are very pro-Harry and Meghan is they can't read. A lot of them didn't go to school. So a book is not really the kind of thing that they might be interested in. They wouldn't know where to start.
Well, then they can listen to the audiobook, which, by the way, is being voiced by Harry himself.
Oh, God. All right. Okay. Well, you know what? Good luck to him. There's nothing wrong.
Those two are on a rampage. Absolutely. They're on a rampage, those two, from podcasts to audiobooks and books. Mm-hmm. They're on a rampage.
Yeah. It's going really well in that family, clearly. Magazines are more entertaining for a coffee table, Mash. Some advice from Ancient Ether. Magazines are still a thing. You could still buy them at certain shops, but they're nowhere near they used to be. I mean, listen, I used to have subscriptions to a couple of them. Now, I can't remember the last time I picked up a magazine, but that just shows you how things change. Now, speaking of change, and I think that this is probably very relevant to all the things that we've been discussing over the last few weeks, years even, it's definitely one of the hot topics in the world, and it seems to be something that everybody has on top of mind. It's really about sustainability, about the changes that are going on in the world around us and how we can deal with those changes. I'm going to introduce you in a moment, Caroline Edie van Wyk, who is the brand editor for Investec, and she is a former broadcast journalist and TV producer who made the leap from the newsroom and editing into Investec, and she's now officially called the brand editor, but around the bank she's known as the storyteller. They've done a terrific job, Investec, of putting out really interesting content, not just with cliffcentral.com, but with a lot of other businesses on their own. They've brought to light some really interesting stories, and Caroline's very good at this. She says the best part of her job is when she gets to be a roving corporate reporter, going to different provinces and communities and telling the stories of how Investec is having an impact from the perspective of the recipient. I've mentioned a couple of times on the show that this series we've just done with them called Future Impact is absolutely amazing. It's worth listening to, and if you haven't listened to it yet, you are missing out. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but let me welcome her to the show. Caroline, it's so nice to have you on. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth. Terrific to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And Monday morning is not anybody's favorite time, but I'm sure that talking about something like this makes it worth the while, because we've done this series. It's coming to an end. Future Impact. When you use words like future, people tend to get nervous because they start thinking that it's either this crazy view of this impossible future reality, which is unattainable, or they start thinking, oh, it's some dystopian thing. Whether you like it or not, that's the kind of division that happens here. Having listened to a few episodes of Future Impact, it's really a very, very positive and interesting way to look at things. I'm thrilled that we've done this series. Do you want to just explain to people what the intention was from the beginning?
Sure. I mean, I think, as you say, our future is actually, unfortunately, rather a precarious one. And the size of the problem that we're facing when it comes to climate change and the growing inequalities across the world, but specifically in South Africa, can be a little bit overwhelming. And I think that is what happens, is people get overwhelmed by the size of the problem, and then they feel that they can't make any sort of impact, and they kind of switch off. And what we wanted to do with this particular podcast was, obviously from an investing perspective, was to highlight some of the amazing work that we're doing with some incredibly innovative and bright partners in many different areas of sustainability. I mean, sustainability is a huge topic. It covers a lot of things.
Sure.
But ultimately, what we wanted to do was both educate our listeners without making it kind of boring and a sort of gloat fest, but educate our listeners and make them realize that there actually is a lot going on around you that is cause for hope, and that there are various things that you can do as an individual, as an investor, to move the needle forward in a positive way, so that we all can kind of leave a positive impact and leave a world that's actually inhabitable for our children.
See, I have no problem with companies that are doing good telling us about that. I think a lot of people miss out because they don't even know that some of these things are happening. I mean, Investec is involved in so many really, really good projects, so many things that are making a difference in the world. You know, people tend to think, well, you know, you stick to your knitting and you should just be doing this or that. And maybe, you know, banking is all you should do. If that was the case, we'd have a lot more problems because, thank God, companies like Investec are involving themselves in areas where people desperately need a little bit of help, whether it's financial, whether it's in terms of expertise, time. Is it difficult to choose? And you know all the people at Investec. Is it difficult to choose which projects you guys want to get involved in? Because there's so many people who have good ideas and come to you and say, hey, can you help us? Or is it very easy? Can you quickly identify and see the things that need your help the most?
I think there's two ways to answer that. So obviously Investec gets involved from a sort of traditional sort of CSI perspective. Mm-hmm. And some of the episodes in this Future Impact podcast series covers that. But obviously the biggest impact we can have is using our core business and our core skills, which is obviously financing and coming up with unusual and innovative ways to structure various sustainable financial products. I mean, obviously that's where we can make the biggest impact.
Sure.
And I think, obviously I'm no banker, but I think our investment bankers and our export financiers and our equity fund managers, they all look very carefully at what they're going to get involved in, because the opportunity is huge, but one has to be very careful with how you do your ESG scores. There is a lot of greenwashing going on around out there and social washing, and you have to just be very careful that some companies that look terrific on an ESG scorecard are in fact terrific, because you could just get a very good ESG management consulting firm that kind of fills in the cracks for you, you know?
Explain what greenwashing is, because I don't think anybody knows about this outside of sort of CSI and corporate stuff.
So ESG, which is an acronym for environment, social, and governance, mm-hmm. those are the three sort of pillars that companies and organizations get. You have to get an ESG score. And based on that ESG score, various investors will either be keen to invest in you or not. Mm-hmm. And what happens is there are ways and means to make a fundamentally not particularly sustainable business look quite ESG shiny. Right. And that's called greenwashing. And sometimes businesses will highlight the good they're doing to the environment. You know, they're putting billions into
renewable
energy. Yeah. But they actually still have, you know, equally billions invested in oil, and they just make your eyes go to the positive rather than the negative, and then you don't realize the total impact.
Okay.
That's greenwashing.
Yeah, I mean, we could call it corporate bullshitting, but I mean, I suppose that wouldn't
we
be
could.
The...
We could.
Okay, so
but even NGOs do it, you know.
They do, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we live in a country in South Africa where all of this stuff doesn't just give you a score, but it also can make certain companies feel a little more secure or insecure, depending on which political and environmental stuff they tend to get involved with. And we know lots of companies are just trying to keep everybody happy all the time so they can do their business too. It involves governments
and everything. Which is impossible.
It is impossible. So, all right, I just want to quickly go back to the series, and then I also want to talk about you being the storyteller, because I think that's the key thing here that makes us a little bit different. If we go back to the series, for anyone who hasn't listened to it yet, I've explained in my own words a couple of times why people should listen. But why do you think people should take a listen to it? What kinds of stories are we trying to tell here?
So, Gareth, this was a very ambitious project. It's one that actually took me quite a while to get over the line. You know, when you're not in the business of making content, like you are lucky enough to be in, and, you know, I've moved away from Sky News and ENCA and places like Urban Brew, where my chief role was to produce content.
Right.
Sometimes it takes quite a while for the execs and the important stakeholders to realize the return on investment on creating content.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, We've been down a road as Investec, and we've got a very lean, but I would say very efficient content team, a little content team in the center. And most of them are my ex-colleagues from journalism days. And we happened upon podcasting quite a few years ago, sort of a few years after you started Cliff Central, realizing that this was a massively growing medium. And we thought that we would be missing a trick if we didn't include this in our sort of content marketing stack, because A, it's a younger audience, and B, most importantly to me, as you were saying, as a storyteller, I was getting very frustrated with creating these amazing, what I thought were pretty good videos, and that sounds like I'm being boastful, but videos that added value, and I was concerned that people were only watching them up to a certain point.
Right.
So podcasting... Sorry, I've digressed a bit from the question you initially asked me, but the reason why we wanted to create this series and why people should listen is because podcasting allows you to actually, it gives you time with your audience. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty about podcasting. I think that's why I love listening to podcasts, you know. So this Future Impact series allows us to delve into a huge variety of topics and not just superficially touch the surface. We speak to the thought leaders in a particular area, but we also speak to the people that are actually being impacted on the ground. Yeah. I think that's one of the differences between this and another sustainability podcast, for instance. So we will speak to the likes of an Investec's Barry Shamley, who's one of our top equity managers, around what in fact is sustainable investing, take us through the spectrum of, you know, ESG versus sustainable investing versus impact investing. But then we will speak to outsiders around, so we spoke to somebody called Morandeni Mafumo, who's the founder of Christini Water.
Yes.
And we talk about how the investment in his company enables him to use this really innovative water filtration system and how it's impacting people in rural KZN and Limpopo with clean water. And they were spending hours a day collecting water. And now they have the opportunity to do other stuff, you know, like work and go to school.
Well, I mean, you mentioned people, but also animals. And I think, you know, that's something that's close to a lot of people's hearts. You don't have to look far in the world to find someone who doesn't want to do something for the environment and for our incredible, and in this country, our incredible, you know, natural resources, whether they are animals, places, tourism, the things that go along with that. My favorite episode in the series is still the one with the rhinos. Because
episode two, yay.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening there is effectively, and you know, people will complain, they will moan, they will say things, but they don't actually get their hands dirty. Investec went and got their hands dirty. You guys don't just give the rhino, the baby rhino sanctuary, money. You actually get involved. And I mean, it was amazing to hear in this podcast the sounds of what's going on in that part of the world, to actually meet the people who are doing the hard work of trying to conserve, look after, protect, and essentially, you know, kind of keep a little piece of this going into the future. We may not have rhinos if it isn't for things like this.
Exactly. And Gareth, you know, I think, as you say, that touches a passion point of so many South Africans. There's a lot that we can be proud of in South Africa, but there's a lot that we get down on, mm-hmm. And rightly so. But our natural heritage and our reserves, and the fact that we've got these incredible species that brings tourists over in their droves, that is one of the biggest, you know, contributors to our GDP. And the fact that we are really on the we were on the brink of losing rhino when Investec Rhino Lifeline was born. It was a sort of it was a carrying call to say we cannot let this happen, not on our watch. And so right. One of our key partners was this Care for Wild NGO, and it was such a wonderful opportunity to take you know, the host of the podcast, Sibin Zile, and the producer, Spike, to actually visit the Care for Wild Sanctuary. And as you say, you get so moved. It's impossible not to be moved by what's going on there. They have thought of every avenue where they can make impact. The whole thing is on this wonderful, sustainable cycle. So not only do you get to hear in this particular episode about how they're conserving wild rhinos that are orphaned from poaching. And they have over 100 rhinos there. and it keeps on getting bigger and bigger. And some of these rhinos have actually given birth to calves, which I think in terms of just a case study of what success looks like, I think that is a pretty concrete one. And it was amazing to hear the sounds of these babies and the suckling and the yeah. feeding of the milk.
Yeah. yeah. And I mean, yeah. We don't want to get into the depressing part of this, but a lot of those little baby rhinos are there because their mothers have been killed and by poachers. So, yes. you know, they rescued because people often go, well, what happens to the babies? I mean, this is always the saddest part of the story for those people who feel for these animals. But, you know, there is plenty of optimistic stuff going on here too. A lot of people say that technology and the opportunities that the future provides are going to make the world not only a friendlier and a more equitable place, but also a better place. I mean, for everybody. You don't just need to be one of those people who's got a wind farm as one of your investments or a solar farm. And people in this country are really taking renewable energy very seriously, I think, especially because we'll take any energy we can get seriously. But it's exciting to hear about where the developments and where the big thinking is. And that's obviously where you guys at Investec can tap into all of your terribly clever people who make these investments, and you can use them as a bouncing board, really, for so many other good ideas. So what's your favorite part of the yes. series? I mentioned I love the rhinos, but what's your favorite part?
I love the rhinos because that's where my heart is. I love conservation and I'm a bush baby. So yes, that would be my favorite one. But I think from a learning one, I probably found the opening podcast the best one for me. I wasn't up on what exactly the differences between sustainability and responsible investing was. Like, what is the spectrum? And I found the laying out that out in terms of what the differences are and those examples really solidified for me what the actual sustainable financial landscape looks like. So from a learning perspective, I liked number one the best. From a being moved perspective, I liked number two the best. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, there are highlights in all of the episodes. There are 8 of them. And, you know, there was great debate about whether we were making a mistake by covering too many topics in one series. Mm-hmm. But as our sort of first sustainability focused gambit into podcasting, we felt we needed to give our audience an overall view of all the different touch points that Investec has. And we haven't even done that, but it just means that if you are interested in conservation, there's something for you. If you're interested in export finance, there's something for you. If right. renewable energies is where you want to be, then there's something for you.
No, I love it. You want to say something, Mash? Go ahead.
Yes. While on the topic of favorite episodes, my favorite episode of the series has to be that reimagining education episode about the NPO in Mpumalanga that is doing yes. such amazing work and actually increasing the pass rate in the area. So yes. that was amazing work there. And I was actually going to ask you what is your favorite episode, but Gareth has already asked you that. Yes.
I was just going to say a lot of the time the word sustainability frightens people away because they think, oh God, it's the politicians getting together at COP, whatever it is, 22, 23, 29, 14.
Or it feels like hard work. It feels like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to concentrate on doing something now or change yes. my lifestyle.
Yeah. Do you feel that's something that we still have to get over? Because people do. That's, unfortunately, the politicians have made us feel a little bit less than enthusiastic about that word sustainability.
I couldn't agree with you more. That was when we were all huddled in, you know, in your offices at Cliff Central. We were talking about what do we want people that listen to the series to leave feeling. And other than educated, we actually really wanted them to feel hope and empowered. Because you know, we can all, it is very, very disheartening when you go through all these COPs and then the sort of key outtake is everybody has great intentions, but nobody's really doing much, right?
Right.
Especially when you are sitting in a developing world and you think, you know, the developing world has had all their time to develop and to pollute our oceans and our atmosphere. And now, you know, we are just sort of getting going, and now we're going to be taxed out of existence, and there's going to be a carbon tax, and people also get quite angry with that. So the geopolitics also makes people angry.
That's absolutely right. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I just think that this particular podcast, especially the last episode, we try to say, okay, look, we've given you an overview of the different areas of sustainability. We do try to anchor it in the SDGs, which is also something that kind of turns everybody's switches off, but the Sustainable Development Goals, and only because that's really the kind of agreed blueprint to which we can all agree that we're trying to achieve something, and it kind of makes it a little bit more tangible and a little bit more easy to measure. So we, in each episode, we talk about which SDGs this is impacting. But the last episode is entirely dedicated to hearing about from four individuals across, you know, so one's an NGO, one's a an author. We hear from Tanya DeSantis, our global head of sustainability. And we also hear from somebody called Ferran Campbell, who runs a little sort of startup that's in Cape Town called EcoWalla. Yep. And the whole point of this podcast is to enable people to realize that, in fact, you are, if you are egalitarian minded and you are trying to do something positive that somehow makes this world a better, cleaner, more sustainable space, then you are impacting the SDGs. Mm. And maybe just take the time to think about how you can extend that impact. You know what I mean? So it doesn't have to be massive. Like, you don't have to give up meat forever. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, maybe just maybe just think about volunteering somewhere, or I don't know, having a meat-free Monday.
I think it's really cool, and I've got to give them credit here that they've brought someone like you in from a corporate point of view, because your background is media, which is something all of us can understand, and we can kind of associate with the work we do. And telling these stories is important. Businesses need to learn to tell stories, just like individuals become good storytellers. Otherwise, you don't want to spend time with them around the braai. And that means you don't want to spend time with them online either. And what's clever about this is that when you tell amazing stories, when you know you are able to articulate your position in the world, as Investec are trying to do with all of this content that they do. And by the way, you know, the sustainable discussion that we're having here, the future impact discussion, is just one of many that Investec has. What stories do you really love telling? Because this is something that you've grown up doing. This is something that you love doing. It's something that you come from. And is it difficult or is it easy sometimes to get these things, as you say, across the line? In other words, to get the much more corporate minded, and there are a lot of people at Investec who are terribly, terribly clever and they know lots and lots about finance, but maybe they aren't the best storytellers. How do you persuade them to do this stuff?
Yeah, look, a lot of it is nagging, good old school nagging. And a lot of but in fact, I think there has been a noticeable shift amongst the bank and amongst corporates, actually, that the time of organizations or companies, you know, boldly telling you how brilliant they are from a first person perspective is over. You know, audiences are saturated with incredible content. They can stream it at their fingertips unless you're prepared to actually give the platform to people outside of your thought leaders, because your thought leaders set it up. They are the brains behind the machine, and obviously it's the bread and butter of the business. But if you don't have your eyes and hearts open to telling stories that actually move people, then your brand will never get anywhere. Right. You absolutely have to have the people who, like myself and like my colleagues, who are paid to go and find the stories of impact, you know, whether it be through our sponsorships, you know, whether it be through our CSI programs, whether it be through our more traditional financed vehicles where we've made a massive impact in somebody's life because of putting up a massive solar plant in the Eastern Cape. And we can talk to the mum who now, you know, she can get to go to work and she doesn't feel dreadfully anxious about leaving her child in a dark place to do their homework all alone. You know, it's those sort of stories that really move people. And there are so many of them, and I'm sure that Investec is not alone in this endeavor. There must be lots of stories out there that need to be told. But it just makes you feel that this is what South Africa is about. These are the people that are actually making a difference, that are building a better nation. It's not about only, you know, the ineptitude in our leaders and the corruption that makes us all want to sort of hide under our covers every morning.
Right. Yeah, I love it. Caroline, thank you so much for making time for us this morning. I know you're busy. And I'm hoping that anyone who hasn't listened to this series yet gets to hear about it, because it really is worthwhile. And there's such interesting things that are going on all over this country that so many people are not even aware of. And Investec's involved in so many of them. But well done to you. Please keep telling your stories, and we will keep helping to do that wherever we can. And hopefully we see you again soon. Enjoy the rest of this year as things start to wind down towards December, although I'm sure that there's no lack of work to keep you guys very, very busy at your offices. Same thing going on with us. We will see you soon.
Yes. Thank you so much, Gareth. And thank you, Cliff Central, for being a great partner on this this Future Impact podcast series.
What a pleasure. Take a listen to it. It is called Future Impact. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, cliffcentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, Caroline. We have got just a couple of minutes left of the show this morning, and I see the breaking news that poor old Jeremy Mansfield is no more. I saw that a couple of people are reporting now, and a couple of news networks are reporting that Jeremy Mansfield died either early this morning or yesterday. So very, very sad. Yeah. And lots of people passing on condolences. As I said just a short while ago, we had Sam on the show, remember, not so long ago either.
Yeah.
Sam Cowan, who was his longtime radio partner, this guy, he touched a lot of lives, you know. He managed to make a lot of people smile in traffic, feel better about their day. He created characters and catchphrases that really went all the way into South African culture. And he will always be remembered. I think he's probably one of those big influences in broadcasting and media that you just can't replace. And he was around at a time with a show that just seems to have punched really, really hard, made an enormous difference to people's lives. A lot of people be very upset to hear that Jeremy Mansfield has passed on this morning.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what was really comforting to know was, Gareth, that you saw him recently as well, it was all organized by Sam.
Yeah.
I see that the press release that the information's going out on was put together by herself.
Good.
And I think it's quite amazing that she was able to have some kind of control over the narrative and how he wanted, you know, the ending of his life to go out. Mm-hmm. Because obviously it would be very public. And just take my hat off to them as well for being transparent about everything and being the people that we are in media. We like to be transparent about ourselves, and that just helps a lot, especially when people are making up stories about why the person may not be online anymore or may not be tweeting anymore. Or, you know, there's always the chance for the untruths to come in the way. And I just love the way that the two of them were just so transparent about everything right up until the end.
Well, our own Ryan says he was the voice we heard on my way into school every morning. I think that's true for a lot of people. Yes. So
that is true.
Sad news. Rest in peace, Jeremy. And you will be missed. I did get to spend a bit of time with him. We had a really lovely lunch not so long ago. You know, Alan Ford was there, Aki Anastasio, Sam Cowan. It was really special. It was good to spend some time with this guy. He was in good spirits. He made sure he absolutely extracted every last bit of happiness and joy and connection out of the little time that he had left, once he knew that there was only a little bit of time left. May we all have that kind of pleasure. May we all be able to live our lives, and when we realize, like, we have only one life to live, that we try and do as much as possible between this day and the one where it all ends. So very, very sad, but at the same time, at least he got to say goodbye. You know, some people don't get to say goodbye. Yes. And I don't want to labor the point, but I think he will be missed terribly much. So there we are. Thank you very much, Jeremy, for an incredible career and for all those hilarious stories, characters, voices. You will be missed. All right, that's about it, guys. That's all we got time for this morning. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have a good Monday. Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.